Pastor Aaron, and it's my privilege to be with you this morning. That might be my sweater doing that. Let me just take that anymore. We are in a new sermon series just kicking off for the month of June, where we're talking about God in nature. Raise your hand if you enjoy spending time outdoors in the summertime. Yeah, almost all of us. Maybe not the allergy sufferers, but almost all of us. It is so good when summer finally arrives in Michigan to be outside, to enjoy the warm weather, the blue skies, the gifts of creation, whether you go out on a trail or you spend time at your cottage or on the water. Whatever you do, I believe that we can experience God in nature. So this sermon series in the month of June is going to be talking about. There's a lot of places in Scripture where we can find ways that other people throughout all of history have experienced God in nature. And one of those places is in the Psalms. And so today, I'd like you to read the Scripture with me. We're going to read Psalm 136, and we're going to read it responsively. So I'm going to say some words, and then you're going to say the words that are in yellow up on the screen, okay? Here they are. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Who alone does great wonders, who by understanding made the heavens, who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule over the night. Thank you. So as we talk about the beauty of God being revealed in nature and all the amazing diversity and the magnificence of nature, we can see God and the character of God in all kinds of places, in all kinds of different ways. It's the same thing if we look at humanity as an act of creation, as an act of God, and all of our beauty and all of our diversity and all the many ways that our bodies are powerful and can do amazing things, we can see the character and the nature of God in all of that. We can also learn more about who God is and who God calls us to be by spending time outdoors. Last week, as Pastor Rick was kicking off our sermon series, he talked about mountains and how we see God in the mountains when they stand up tall and we look at them and we shudder in disbelief about how we can be so small and the mountains can be so great. And yet Christ is with us in all of the moments, and Christ is with us in the mountains. And this week, I want to talk about sky. Okay, we're going to talk about sky and what the sky has to teach us about the character and the nature of God. Now, I know, and you know, that the sky looks different each and every day. The sky looks different in the morning and at night. The sky looks different sometimes, even just when you start your commute to work, and by the time you finish your commute to work, it can look a little different, right? When you wake up in the morning and you go to school and you get dressed, and you think, oh, it's going to be kind of a chilly, cold, rainy day. And so you gear up and you're dressed too warm. And then you get to school and you start stripping off the layers because it's definitely going to be a warmer day. The sky can also look different depending on where you are and where you're looking at it and what your perspective is. If you're looking to the north, sometimes the sky looks different than if you're looking to the south, right? So I believe that no matter where you are, if you need to see a reminder of God, if you need to feel God's presence and be reminded about how great God is and how magnificent and what a wonderful creator God is, all you need to do is look up. I want to talk about a few times when I've looked up during the daytime and the nighttime and talk about what I've learned about God from the sky. I have a couple of stories, and one thing you need to know about Pastor Aaron is that my faith was really birthed at camp, at summer camp. And so this time of year, I'm always thinking about those camp stories that I can tell in church when I'm preaching or when I'm working with kids or when I'm teaching or something to help other people understand who I am and how I understand God to be. Because my camp experiences helped birth and nurture my faith journey. I had a camp counselor when I was in seventh grade, whose name was Kelly, and she was living with her family in Gun Lake on the west side of Michigan near Grand Rapids. And our camp was at Wesley Woods in Dowling near Battle Creek. And one morning, I was up bright and early. I had to get up out of my cabin and take care of some business in the bathroom. And I came back, and nobody else was awake, and it was dark, and I was trying not to disturb anybody. And so I went out of our cabin, and I just sat on the porch, and I could see that the sun was rising. And so I walked my little seventh grade self through the woods in the dark, just as the sun was rising, a little ways, and I heard something, maybe a squirrel, let's call it a squirrel, in the woods. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And so I jumped back, and I went back to my cabin, and I just sat on the porch again. And a few minutes later, my counselor, Kelly, came out to the porch, and she said, "Oh, you're up early." And I said, "Yeah, I just wanted to go see the sunrise, but I got kind of freaked out walking in the woods by myself. And I'm a city girl, so I came back." And she says, "Well, let's go to the lakeshore and watch the sunrise from there." And so we went out to the lakeshore, and we sat on the beach, and we watched the sunrise. And that morning, the sunrise was just very picturesque. It could have been on a postcard. And the colors that came up as the sun came up were peach and pink, and they just started ascending into the clouds and making this beautiful, glorious scene, kind of like that one behind me. This isn't the actual picture of the lake where I was, but it's one I think that looks a lot like it, okay? And Kelly sat with me there, and she just quietly talked with me about what it means to be a person who's created by God, who's as beautiful and as lovely and as holy as this scene is that we were watching unfold before us. And she started telling me some things about the nature of God. She says, "Wherever you see the colors in the sky, that's God's grace." And as she kept talking to me, I said, "But look how far it extends. You can't really see the ends. You can't really see where those colors stop and where they start." And she said, "Exactly, exactly. That's like God's grace. You can't tell where it starts or where it stops or where it's going to end. God's grace goes on forever and forever and ever. And it always covers us. It always surrounds us. It always envelops us and uplifts us. And it holds us. It sustains us." She said, "That's like God's grace. It's as wide as the horizon is this morning, and it's new every morning. God's grace is new every morning, and as sure as the sun will rise, God's grace will greet us with open arms, with this overwhelming and unconditional love and acceptance." And so I took that to heart as a seventh grader. I sat with her, and I listened to her, and then as the summer carried on, and I went back to my family, imperfect as we were, and I went back to my school life, I always remembered that God's grace is new every morning, and it stretches as wide as the horizons. It always envelops us. It always embraces us. It always holds us up. The other thing about daytime sky and the place where we can see God is in the clouds, I think. I love to watch the clouds, whether it's a picture-perfect day with blue skies and white clouds, or whether there's a thunderstorm coming in and you can watch all the different clouds come in. I think at one point in middle school, I had probably memorized the different types of clouds, you know, the cumulus and the trapezoids and the, I'm not sure what all the clouds are, but trapezoid is definitely not one of them, is it? Okay, so this is why I became a pastor and not a science teacher. Sorry, you guys. But clouds are a sign of God's activity in the world. It's a sign that as God's presence is moving throughout creation, God's presence is dynamic, God's presence is free-flowing, God's presence is sometimes a little unpredictable. You don't know where exactly in nature God is going to show up, or where exactly in our lives or in the situations in our lives that God is going to show up and intervene and do something amazing. There's a character in the Bible by the name of Job, and Job was really a sad little man. He had a really difficult life, And one time as he was sitting in darkness and in stillness, contemplating just how sad and lonely and awful his life was, he had this experience of the clouds moving throughout the sky. And I want to read to you from Job 23. "Surely God is great, and we do not know him. The number of his years is unsearchable, for he draws up the drops of water, he distills the mist and the rain, which the skies pour down and drop upon mortals abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds and the thundering of his pavilions? See, he scatters his lightning around him and covers the roots of the sea. For by these he governs peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with the lightning. He commands it to strike the mark. Its crashing tells about him. He is jealous with anger against iniquity." If you've ever sat and watched a thunderstorm or laid in bed and listened to it, you can hear some of the words that Job was experiencing in this time in his life. When the thunder and the lightning are crashing, when the mist is starting to move about the earth, and when the rain is pouring down abundantly, we can experience God's presence in nature. Now, if you take this metaphor and extrapolate it a little bit, you can imagine how God's grace pouring down abundantly, showering us unconditionally, is a sign of love. It's an act that makes us experience God's very presence in the world. Job wrote these words because he wanted to remember not only the moment of the storm and the way it helped him experience God and the comfort that brought him, but also the ways in which he could never understand the full nature and character of God. I think that some of the songs that we've sang this morning help to beautifully describe the transcendent nature of God. That transcendence is a big church word that we use to talk about how God is bigger and better than anything we can ever imagine. And we can't even begin to describe just how wonderful God is and how great God is and how much God's love means to us. It's indescribable. It's unfathomable. But if the mountains can experience God's love in creation, if the waves can experience God's love in creation, if the rocks can cry out in praise, then so will we. And we are marvelous acts of God's creation. We, as human beings, have been created by God. And God looks at us with that same amazement, that same sense of awe and wonder. Look what all I have made. Look at what my hands have made. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they sacred? Aren't they wonderful? One of the places I experience nature the best is up north in Traverse City. Have you all been to Traverse City? If not, you should go there, like, stat. Not right now. Wait till after worship, and then go. Last week, I was up there for a conference of United Methodist pastors and people who gathered to do the business of the church. It's called Michigan Annual Conference. And we had a chance in worship to hear from a speaker, a young woman that I grew up with, whose name is Becca. Becca and I were in elementary school and middle school and high school together, and we were church kids, and so we were always at annual conference together. And now I'm doing my thing here in Rochester, and Becca is traveling the world. She's a peacemaker and someone who does environmental studies and science things with people all over the world. And one of the places she's worked in recently is Morocco, with a tribe of people who are quite impoverished, who live in a land that's quite arid, and there's a lot of drought. And it's a little bit north and west of the Sahara Desert, and so you can imagine the climate, but it's up in the mountains. And this tribe of people live in the mountains, and one of the things they have had to do is learn how to make their life and make their work in the mountains and in this arid climate. In the mountains where they are, there's quite a bit of fog. And the word that these people have for fog is dead water. There's so much fog that you can't see your hand outstretched in front of you if you place it into the fog. It's so thick that it's very overwhelming. And it's so thick that sometimes their livestock, if they are in the fields and grazing, if they walk too far, they just walk right off the face of the cliff because the fog is so thick and they can't even tell that the land is ending and the sky is beginning. And so my friend Becca has worked with these amazing people, and one of the things that they have done together is to learn how to harvest the water from the fog. They've built these screens that they place on the edge of the mountain. We're going to put a picture up of those in just a moment. And here they are. So they place these screens up on the edge of the mountain in this apparatus. And underneath the screens is a pipe that collects the water as it's distilled from the fog through the screens, and it flows down. And then it flows down the mountain to the place where they have their gardens, their farmland, and their livestock. And what it does is it takes this amazing gift from the sky and it makes it something that can be used to create abundant life in the places where they live and where they work. It's solving all kinds of problems where people who need clean, potable water now don't have to travel miles and miles to get it. It's keeping kids in school because now they don't have to leave their homes to go collect the clean, potable water during the school day. They can get their education. And most importantly, it's keeping their farms and their livestock healthy so that they can grow the fruits and vegetables and the food that they need and keep their livestock on the land, not falling off the face of the cliff. Isn't that handy? What I'm amazed by in this story that my friend Becca shared with us at the worship service at annual conference is that the God who made the sea and the sky and the earth and all the thing that's on it gave people the brains and the capacity to create something like this so that we can use every good gift from creation, including the sky, for our purposes, to meet our needs, to satisfy our wants. I'm amazed looking at the beautiful sunrise, looking at the clouds, and looking at what people can do with fog as it sets in the sky. I want to transition a little bit and talk about the nighttime sky. I'm a mom of a young child, and so sometimes I'm awake at night, right? And I experience God when I look out the window and I'm rocking my son and I can see the stars in the sky. I can see signs of God's creative power. And another camp story that I want to tell you, this time I was at a camp in northern Michigan, north of Gaylord, way up there, called Lake Louise United Methodist Church Camp. And one of the traditions is for the seniors to get together on the last night of camp, and we stay up really late, and we drink all kinds of pop, and we eat all kinds of candy and junk food. And then we all traipse out to the place that's beyond the cabins, beyond the dining hall, beyond the rec center, beyond the chapel, to this open meadow. The camp mows the meadow, and we bring our blankets out there with us, and we lie out under the stars together as seniors, and it's like this bonding moment. And so my senior year of high school was the summer of 2004, and it was an especially clear and dark night. There was no ambient light, and so we were able to lay out and stargaze and see the Milky Way galaxy above us. It was a phenomenal experience, the first time I had ever seen that. That night, as we saw the Milky Way, there was also a solar flare that let us see the aurora borealis, the northern lights. There were hues of green and purple just dancing across the Milky Way galaxy and all the stars that we were laying underneath. One of our counselors, this guy's name was Chad. I have all these amazing counselors in my life. Chad says to us, out of the stillness, out of the silence, as we are laying there in awe and wonder, he says, "You guys, do you realize that the same God who created this great expanse, all the stars above us, is the same one who created you? And amidst everything else that's going on in the world, amidst everything else that's going on in the galaxies, and all these things that are spinning in space and time, that God still has the desire and the time and the will to be involved in your life, to love you. That's the God that I hope you meet here this week," he said. "That's the God that I want you to spend your life loving and serving. When you go off to college and when you get involved in your career and when you start your own families, I want you to remember every time you look up that the same God that created those heavens created you." A little later on in our service today, we're going to be recognizing the work of counselors and teachers and the people who work in the lives of our kids and our grandkids. We're going to be saying thank you for the things they have done for all of us. The ways that our faith and our life has been nurtured by the time they took to point out these poignant and meaningful moments about the nature and the character of God, just like my counselors Kelly and Chad did. And so, you know, when kids stand before us, sometimes they look up, right? They look up to get our attention. My son will pull on my pants to get my attention, or say my name over and over again, or do something a little ridiculous and say, "Mommy, look at me." But the whole time, they're looking at us. They're looking up to us, just like we're looking up at God, our Creator, and all the magnificent and wonderful things that our God has done and will do. And so perhaps the challenge that I have for you today, as we're thinking about the God of the sky and the God of the universe, is to look up and experience the awesomeness, the creative power, the wonderful, magnificent beauty that God has made in the sky, whether it's at daytime or nighttime. But also to be aware of the little ones who are looking up at you. Just like we're looking up at God, we need to be aware of the little ones who are looking up at us. And how do our lives reflect the character and the nature of God? How does each act of love and each act of grace and each kind word tell them something about who God is and what God is about? I want you to remember the words from the psalm that we read earlier together today, that God's steadfast love endures forever. We're going to sing that in a closing song in just a few minutes. And the words of the psalm are going to come alive in the music of a Christian artist named Chris Tomlin. So I want you to hear them spoken now, and then a little later on, I want you to sing them as a prayer. He says, "Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever." May we remember these words today as we look up, and as we remember to take the time to love and serve others. Will you pray with me? God, our Creator, you are amazing. You are always at work in our lives and in the world. And we're gifted with a beautiful place to spend our summer. And as we look out our window, as we walk outside our door, as we slip off our shoes and enjoy the gift of nature in Pierre, Michigan, we can see you and your abundant creative powers all around us. And every sunrise and sunset, and every beautiful flower and tree, in the storms that pass, in the birds that sing, we're so grateful, oh God, that you took the time to make this world as beautiful and lovely as it is. We're also grateful, oh God, that you took the time to make us. that you made us beautiful and beloved and holy, each in our own ways, with gifts and graces to serve you and our neighbor. Help us to pay attention, O God, to those moments when we're aware of our particular uniqueness, when someone gives us a compliment, and when we have the opportunity to do good on behalf of someone else that you love. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to love first. Amen.